Are you connected?
Hello and welcome to Are You Connected, episode number 58. Today is the 14th of January, 2013. I'm Jenny Ashby and I'm from Bendigo. I'm an ICT specialist and I also teach reading recovery in the primary school as well. With me today, I have Lois Smethurst. Hello, Lois.
Hi, Jenny. How are you going?
Good.
And I'm an ICT specialist too, in a sense, in a primary school. And I teach the a special program, ICT for the gifted and talented or highly able kids in my school. And then my kids become the mentors and helpers in their class with the ICT program.
Yeah, so we teach our ICT in very different ways because I do coaching of the teachers, go into the classroom and help them using ICT. And I also take some specialist classes, but in their classroom, using their gear in the classroom. So it's not away in a lab anymore like it used to be.
No, I don't. I must admit I don't get to go into the lab very often, but my coaching is actually more with the students and the students helping in their classes. So I help the kids help the teachers, in a sense. So it's the same, but a different way of going about it.
So episode 58, Lois, we're getting there, aren't we?
On our way to 100.
We'll get there. So 2013, it's an odd year. And you know I don't like odd numbers, Lois.
No, they're not my favourite either. And 13 certainly isn't one of my favourites.
Yeah, so anyway, 2012 whizzed by. So today we're going to begin with the topic that we advertised on Twitter, put out a survey about essential creating apps for the new year, ones we'd like to put on our iPads.
To start the year off, because, you know, starting fresh and things have changed a lot since we first got our iPads. And I know I'm setting up a whole heap of new iPads and a different arrangement now. And I think you're changing what you've done in the past too. So we looked at which apps would we most definitely have on our iPads to start the year. But we're talking about the creating apps, aren't we, Jen?
Today we're talking about the creating apps.
Yeah.
Definitely.
And so we did a survey.
So which were your ones?
Do you want to start with mine?
Mm-hmm.
My apps that I couldn't do without, I think, not necessarily in this order, but Strip Designer, which is like comics, but you can do a lot more with it. It's like lots of apps, even though they have one purpose, is that, you know, you can make them do lots of other things. Strip Designer, because it's a good writing app and kids can easily add pictures, teachers use it. I actually got that as a recommendation from my friend Bronwyn, who works at Oatlands Primary School, and she said her whole staff created their school magazine page on Strip Designer last year, you know, quite quickly, and it's very versatile. They use it for lots of things. So that's one. Explain Everything. Tiny Tap I wouldn't be without. It's a great game creator, and it's a great way to see. It's very open-ended, so children create games. They might create the same game about time, but the differences in their questions tells you so much about their understandings and their knowledge. So that one. Toontastic, that's very versatile again. You can use it as what it's meant for, which is a narrative app, but we've used it for things such as making a model of a science molecule and explaining how water freezes, what happens to the molecules when water freezes. So it's very versatile again, depends on how you want to think about it. I like Audio Boo for creating sound and making sound files, and I think at the end of last year I looked at it and it appears you can add a picture now and create a boo with a picture. So when you post that, you've got the image and a verbal annotation with it. Edublogs for blogging, and Educreations, which is a simpler version of Explain Everything, because the apps I'm choosing are mostly for students in the prep to four level, not necessarily the older students. We don't have iPads at the older levels. And I would put Poplet on, because Poplet's a great little brainstorming app. Now, they're just the first few that I've thought about, but they're the ones I definitely would have. So what are yours, Jen?
Well, I also like Explain Everything, and when you're looking to explain everything, it's like 10 apps all rolled into one. So if you put that one on when you're going on your desert island trip, you knock off a whole lot of apps you don't need to have to explain everything.
Agree.
I was thinking of a storage app for some sort of cloud storage, so I'm sort of in two minds between Evernote and Dropbox.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm leaning towards Evernote this year, so I'll give that a go and see how it goes.
Yeah, and report back to us.
Yes, Book Creator for creating great books, publishing, and can't get past iMovie and Keynote because they're just so easy to use and kids love creating with them. And also I included in my list iTalk, although you can record audio and explain everything. iTalk is just so simple to use and you get a really quick recording.
Mm-hmm.
And I also chose EduBlogs like you did because I'm hoping that will encourage all the teachers and students to blog more.
I agree. Yes, that's my plan too. I think if it's easy and it's instant on the iPad, then it will happen more often, won't it?
Yes. Yeah. And even from their iPhones, they'll be able to blog quickly.
Yeah, it just means setting it up at the beginning, putting in the blogs that will be accessible, and then it's pretty easy from then on, isn't it?
Yep, even adding a photo and all sorts of encode, all sorts of things you can do with it.
Yep. Well, you can use it at a simple level for a start when you just drag on a photo and write some text and then it's done. So it can be done very simply.
Yep. So our survey, Lois, we did a survey.
We did.
In a Google form. We put an ad on Twitter about it, asking people to fill it in.
A few ads.
A few ads, and a few people retweeted it for us, which was great.
That was terrific.
So it went around the globe and had a few different people fill it in. And from there, we have found the results of what people thought were their favourite, their five essential apps. Maybe not favourite, but their essential ones.
Yes. And so, similar to us, Explain Everything was very high on the list.
Yes. It was the most popular.
Yes.
The most needed.
Well, it's good, isn't it? It speaks for itself, doesn't it? So, and then Evernote.
Yes.
Very popular. And iMovie. And I liked the comment we got about iMovie where it was Claire Rafferty said that her students were offered a whole heap of free movie-making apps, I think it was, but they all wanted to use iMovie. So this year they're going to make sure they put iMovie on their computers and have iMovie available as part of their book list.
And what else, Lois?
Well, and the final ones were Sketch and Twitter. Oh, and Sketch actually would be on my list too. Forgot about Sketch. But then if you've got to explain everything, you might not use Sketch. But Sketch is so simple and quick to use for annotating photos and putting on arrows and writing an instruction. So Sketch is a great one. And Twitter, of course, for communicating.
Yeah, some sort of Twitter app of some sort.
Yeah.
So that was the five people thought.
Yeah. So thanks to all those people who filled in the survey, which did seem a bit onerous in the holidays for people to do, but people were keen, I think, to get some feedback, and we'll put the results in our Are You Connected website, won't we?
Yes, and I think we'll attend the setting up a form course so we can make forms easier.
Oh, well, it was hard, wasn't it? It sort of
was. We had to look at it and decide on the questions and then decide on how that answer. So you can make the survey have different results by what you put in, as we all know from surveys.
Learning process. Learning process. So,
now, Lois, you've got some good links there about different things.
Oh, right. Well, yes, I think too, having to think about which apps we would have on there, it makes you start to realise that, you know, there's all different levels of apps. And so then I was quite interested in some of the Bloom's taxonomy sites that were coming up that categorise apps according to what level you use them at. And you really do not want your iPad to be at just the remembering level. You do not want apps that just help kids remember things like their tables, do you? You want your apps to be at the high level of learning, which in those Bloom taxonomy sites is the creating level. And so I've just put in some links for some of those sites that, because there's quite a few different ones, they all sort of sprung up and people then categorise their apps accordingly. And Jen, you had one too, that you had a different model, not a Bloom's model. What was the model you were talking about?
Yes, it's the SAMR model, which had apps that are substitution, and really just substituting the way you do something with a different way.
Mm-hmm.
Then the augmentation apps, where you're slightly changing. Then the modification apps, where a task is being modified. And then the apps that really redefine how you're doing something.
And that's what we're looking for, isn't it?
And there are lots of apps that you use up in that top section.
Well, I'm glad.
I'm actually in the redefinition section.
So reluctant to put on the first level, you know, the substitution level. An iPad's not just there to substitute the way you do something. It's not there just for kids to learn their tables, for example, or to keep them amused when they finish something early. You really want them to be creating and making and learning at that top level, constructing learning.
Yeah, it's a lot more than word processing.
It is. It is. Well, that's right.
Yes, definitely.
And another site that you've seen this site, Jen, was the commonsensemedia.org site, which is just a site for you could type in, and I was just really thought it was for apps, but you've pointed out it's for all sorts of things. You can type in the name of something and check its suitability. It does a little review, doesn't it?
Yes, and I've actually got the app. I've had the app on my iPhone for quite a few years. You can type in the name of a game, even a PSP game, or even a TV video, a movie, all sorts of things. What's on at the moment at the pictures, and it'll tell you the rating, what it's suitable for. If there's anything wrong with it or it's not highly rated, it will tell you what could be a problem with the movie.
Oh, that's good.
Whether it has violence, whether it has that.
Language or something like that.
Mm-hmm. So you can find out all the things about it. That's really handy when kids are talking about different things.
And you have it on your phone as well. I didn't realise it was an app as well as a website.
Yeah, well, I always had it as an app first off.
Oh, there you go. I didn't know that.
Hmm.
I don't think we've shared that one before, Jen.
No, we might have. I've had it for that long. It's probably I've had it from before we had the podcast.
No, we've had the podcast for a long time.
Anyway. Now, some events that are coming up.
Yes.
Oh, no, I think you wanted to mention one from Brit.
Oh, Brit's, when we did our survey, Brit sent us a link to free tech for teachers. So that people might want to have a look at too. So that's a link included in our blog. So thanks, Britt, for that. That was very helpful. And Britt,
yeah,
I'll take that.
So the event's coming up, Lois. We've got the Google Summit this week.
Yes, which you're fortunate to go to, Jenny, in Sydney. Off to Sydney.
Yes.
I'd like to go to a Google Summit, but I really don't want to give up 4 days of my holidays.
Well, Hawaii would have been nice, wouldn't it?
Hawaii.
Hawaii's just been on.
Has it? The Google Summit.
Yeah, and it was on at the weekend.
I'm hoping a Google Summit will come to Melbourne.
That would have been all right, wouldn't it?
Well, I can't.
After that, MOTMA is on.
Yes.
MOTMA 2013 in February.
Meeting of the Minds.
At the Inspire 9. Co-worker space.
That sounds really interesting, doesn't it?
In Richmond, and we were commenting earlier that we think we read an article on a flight to New Zealand or something, didn't we?
Well, we think we did. It sounds like the same place, doesn't it? And where people go and they just use the desks and the spaces, and it's for creative people to, they might be building an app or designing something, and so it's sort of a space where people can just go and work. And apparently we're going to be there for the Saturday and the Sunday at the Meeting of the Minds conference. And I think there's still a few spaces if people are interested in coming.
Yeah. So I think I'm going as much to look at the place as to have an inspiring time with everyone there.
Yes, agreed. Well, that's just part of it, isn't it? I mean, it was very inspiring last year when we went and we got to share lots of things together. And the people in the conference decide the agenda of the conference, really. And then the last thing that we're going to mention is something that's coming up on February the 2nd is the Melbourne Teach Meet.
Yeah, and I think we put that in the wrong order, Lois.
We've put it in completely wrong order. It doesn't matter. February the 2nd, and that's at the Little Markov pub, apparently, in Drummond Street, Carlton.
Yeah, on a Saturday.
On a Saturday. Saturday evening, I think, from 4 to 6.
So that's a different time for people to turn up.
Yes. I suppose they could do that on their way out to something else on a Saturday night.
Yeah. Now, our safety tip this time, Lois, you've got a safety tip for us about Instagram.
I don't think we talked about this, Jen, but last year it was becoming very obvious that lots of our students, we had a little incident which highlighted it, not it was out of school, but a lot of students had Instagram accounts. And, you know, you can do a bit of stealth work and investigate who has and who hasn't. It doesn't take long to find one or two students on Instagram, and then they usually link to all your other students in your school who have Instagram accounts. And it became very obvious that students weren't aware of what they were doing by publishing photos and not turning on the privacy setting. And so I wrote an article that was then put in our school newsletter to help parents become aware and students become aware of what it meant to publish those photos without your privacy setting on. And so that's we've put the link there for other teachers to use if they want to. But the Instagram accounts either have on or off. There's no in between. And if they're on, then everybody can see the photos that the students post, not just the people who are following them, but anybody can see them. And once they realised that, they were a bit taken aback. And a lot of the students, which I checked on quite a few later, and I said, have you closed your account? And they would say, no, they said, we've deleted it, which really they should, because they're not 13. But I suggested the parents be co-administrators with their students. And they said, no, we've deleted it. But when I talked about with a bit more of them, they had actually only deleted the app on their iPod. They hadn't. Because they said, I've forgotten my password, so I deleted the app. But they did not realise that they were not deleting their account or their photos. So I think I'll have to do a little bit more follow-up at the beginning of this year just to remind students or check with their parents that kids are safe online. But I think that's one that that's a good one to follow up. Check with your kids and do a little search for them.
Yeah. Well, it was a little bit the same as when we had the police come out to school and they were talking about Facebook and how once you put photos on Facebook, Facebook own your photos. Mm. And the kids didn't realise that. Well, and, you know, I gave the example of a person who was trying to sue a magazine for having their photo in the magazine advertising something.
Really?
And they couldn't do a thing about it because the fine print says that Google owns the photos and they'd sold the photos.
Facebook owns photos.
Facebook, yeah. They'd sold the photos to the advertising company.
That's terrible, isn't it?
Their photo was in this magazine and they had nothing, got nothing for it, and plus they didn't want their photo in there. Interesting.
Well, it's a bit of a worry, isn't it?
Yeah, well, it's just might make people think twice when they post a photo on Facebook.
Yes, well, it does. Now, tips, Jenny, a tip for the podcast?
Yes, my tip is the apostrophe tick.
That's a good one.
When we're typing on the keyboard and we've got the alphabet up on the iPad,
yes,
there's an exclamation mark, question mark, full stop and a comma, but not an apostrophe, which isn't a problem most times because most contractions, it will automatically put the apostrophe in.
Mm-hmm.
But I've noticed the ones like wheel, like we will, wheel, that won't. It'll just come out as well. So if you flick the comma key, which also has the exclamation mark on it, it will put an apostrophe in between your letters,
isn't
which is
clever?
Great.
And who'd ever thought of flicking? Did you flick some other keys to see if anything happens?
Well, if you hold down on certain keys, you'll get other things come up.
Oh, right.
That's true. Try the Z.
Okay.
Try all the vowels. You get lots of different things come up on your keyboard that you might want to use, especially if you're doing things from a different language.
Oh, yes. Is that like using the option key on a normal keyboard?
Probably. It's more for your different languages, like German has a lot of different inflection things and all those different things they have.
Yeah.
On your numbers, everyone must know the zero. When you hold that, you get the degree little circle.
My favourite one is when you do, well, I'm not sure about the iPad, but when you do the option V, you get the tick.
Ah, yes.
So I wonder if you hold the V on your iPad, whether you get the tick.
Try it, see what happens.
Let's try it and see what happens.
No, you get nothing.
How disappointing.
So some apps that we've found recently, some new apps.
Yes.
And usually I find these apps from having a need to do something or someone's told me about them.
I just
the
like
first
to
one is Shrink
some.
URL.
Mm-hmm.
I used to use Bitly a lot when I was on my laptop. Recently I've been putting on Google Form type of URLs and they do some scrambled up funny thing on my iPad and come out and people click on them and they don't get where they should be.
Mm-hmm.
So I thought I'm going to get a proper URL shortener. So I tried Shrink URL and it's free and it's worked very well.
Oh, that's good.
It even puts it on the, copies it for you automatically sort of.
Yeah, so it's in your clipboard.
Yeah, it puts it in the clipboard straight away. So then you can just go back and paste it into your tweet.
Oh, that's good, yes.
Because, I mean, if you're on TweetDeck or something on your laptop, you've got that facility there.
Yes.
It's not always there on a iPad, is it?
Yeah, no, because TweetDeck shortens it automatically for you.
Mm. And the other one was Iconit, which is an app that scans icons of apps. You know how someone can get a whole sheet of icons and they've got all their pictures of their apps, but they haven't put the writing underneath? Well, you can just scan the different pictures and it will go through and check and come up and tell you which one it is.
So someone's created a database with all that.
Well, it might even go and check in iTunes or somewhere.
Yeah, but it must match the pictures, doesn't it? That's amazing.
Yeah.
So that's a handy little one.
Mm.
And then you've got the last one there for you, from you, Haiku Deck.
Yeah, iPad Sammy mentioned this one the other week and I thought I'll have a try of it. What it is, you put some text in and it pulls out the keywords from the text.
Right.
It has a limit on how much text you can put in because it actually puts that text on your screen.
Right.
And you can make a slideshow. And once you've it's got the keywords out of your first bit of text, you choose the one you want and then it will give you a suggestion of photos to do with that topic. So you can very easily get a whole lot of photos to go with your presentation with a small amount of text on each page or even just one word and have a really nice presentation.
Oh, sounds really interesting. Hmm, all right. I might have to try that one. That sounds really terrific. And the one I've put on there is one I've had on my iPad for ages, but I recently wrote a little description of an introductory activity for kids at school for getting your blogs and your ICT off the ground, where we use Tagzedo. And Tagzedo is a word cloud, which you can then you can import your photo and have the text about you make the picture of your face, which looks fantastic. And then people said, but hang on, can you do this on an iPad? And I thought, oh, no, you can't. So I looked up the word photo one and it does a similar thing where you get you take a photo with your iPad. It's very quick. Take a photo with your iPad and then you add 10 words. You can only add 10 words about you. And it it puts those words across your face and makes an image. It's just, you know, it's different, but it uses those main words all across your face to make a word image with your photo in it. And there's different ways you can display that photo. It looks interesting. So you, then you could put that on your blog. So you could have all the kids' images with the words about them at, on their class blog to start the year off. And so that would be introducing your class to everybody.
And it's another getting to know you at, activity at the start of the year, which is great, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, and that's a free app. So that's simple and easy to do. So we'll put the links to both of those things in the blog.
Yep, so all of those different apps.
All those different things and apps, yep, that's great.
And the websites we've mentioned today, they'll be on the blog.
Yeah.
And luckily here in Victoria, people have still got just 2 weeks left.
2 weeks. Is it that long? It's going very fast. 2 weeks of our holidays.
It's a little fraction more than 2 weeks. Almost over, and then they'll be right back into it. So a good planning time at the moment, though, isn't it?
It is nice to stop and have a think and have a play about things, isn't it, Jen?
It is.
To look at these apps that we've sort of downloaded last year and haven't had a chance to look at even.
Yep. There was mention also in that survey, I think Claire mentioned it, about students being able to actually find apps and contribute apps they think are going to be good for certain sorts of learning. And when we did our trial for our iPads, that was one of the findings we found, was that it was very powerful for students to be able to find the apps rather than being told the this student, app or that app.
The student ownership thing is very important.
It was very powerful for those students who went down that path.
Yes. I can see that would be true too. So... But I don't know about you, Jen, but I'm always open to suggestions for good apps.
That's right.
If they're affordable and they do a job well, then there's no reason why they wouldn't go on the iPad.
That's right.
Anyway, this is part of our New Year's resolution, is to keep our podcast to the point and short. Is that right?
That's right. I think we're under 30 minutes.
Under 30 minutes, and so we're going to try and keep them between the 20 and 25-minute mark.
Yeah. Okay, Lois. Well, thanks for today, and thanks to all our listeners who've been listening to Are You Connected? And we hope your year ahead is going to be a wonderful year, and we'll see you later. Bye for now.
Bye for now. Thanks, Jen.